And it means to be happy, to be joyful, to be successful and prosperous, to be straight and true. If you're really blessed, then you should be envied by all sorts of people because they see something special going on in your life. He has given me so much over these 41 years that I have followed him. I'm truly blessed, above all, because of the relationship I have with the Lord Jesus. You know, this past year of living with dying, of grieving and growing, of great joy and great sadness has been the hardest, absolutely hardest season of my life, but it's also, without a shadow of a doubt, been the richest and the most incredible experience I've ever been through. I've never been so broken, but I've never been closer to the Lord. He continues to speak to me and reveal things to me on a regular basis. I've never grown to have such a level of trust and confidence in him alone. Were all my prayers answered? Not necessarily. But the most important prayer of all was that I would follow him as never before, and that one was answered completely and totally. It says in Isaiah 30:15, in returning to me and waiting for me, you will be saved. In confidence and trust, in stillness and quiet, you will find your strength. And that scripture has meant so much to me this last year. Molly and I found great strength in his love and his mercy as she became weaker and weaker and as her life slowly drained from this world. And then Jesus set her free and took her home. The Lord faithfully carried us every day amidst our trials and setbacks and met us in an extraordinary fashion. I don't know what he's going to do with my life going forward, but I know he's in control. I know he's directing my steps. I know he has plans for me, for good and not for evil, to give me a future and a hope. I know when I go to him and I pray to him, he will listen to me. And I know when I search for him, I will find him as I search for him with all my heart. I have learned to abandon myself in his hands and ask him to do as he wills. And I've learned to thank him for all that he has done and all he's doing. I am ready for all. I surrender all. I accept all. I discovered a wonderful prayer of abandonment that I've been meditating on and praying early each morning and right before sleep each night. I made copies for everybody. Let me give this to you. And I encourage you to make it your prayer of surrender. It'll change your life as it has helped change mine. So I challenge all of us as we come forward for communion to let go and let God transform your life. Abandon yourself to Jesus Christ in a way you have never done before so that when you come to your season of hardship, sickness, or death, and you will, I guarantee, have those in your life, you will know him as you have never known him before, and he will be with you every step of the way. Gentlemen, if you could come up and release the people row by row, if you have any interest in pursuing Jesus, we encourage you to come and share these elements. The body, the representation of the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus. We're taking a special offering up to benefit Young Life, a tremendous ministry that helps our youth in our high schools and our community. So come up, take the elements, and take your blue card back with you.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well, it is well.
Satan should buffet, the trials should come. Let this blessed assurance
daily. May we die to ourselves, and may we follow you forevermore. Thank you. Please pass those to the center aisle. Youth, you are released to go up to your youth meeting up the stairs. And I'd like to welcome everyone to our Father's house and extend a very special welcome to those of you who are our first-time guests. I saw a few new faces. We're so thankful to have you here with us today. If you could fill in the guest card, and immediately after the service, we have a reception for you in the hospitality room right by the front door. So please stick around and meet our pastor after the service. I just want to bring a couple things to your attention. Actually, they already said it. Pastor Daniel stole my thunder. Way to go, Daniel. So, ushers, come on up. And, you know, Scripture says we are truly blessed because of all that he has given us. And it says in 1 Timothy 6:17, do not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy, that we may do good and that we may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. And first, I want to commend you again for your faithful generosity, both to sustain the ministry of this church, but last month, your extra giving, above and beyond, sent $472 for Cuba missions, $1,400 for Kenya missions, and over $340 to help the ministries in Ukraine. And we are so thankful for your faithful support of these missionary efforts all over the world. So, Father, I just pray a blessing upon all these people as they partake with you in building your kingdom, that you would abundantly bless them. They don't have clenched fists that you can't pour money into because they won't give it away, but they have open hands. That you would continue to pour your blessings into their open hands so that they would willingly give with the poor and the needy, ready to give, willing to share, to make a difference in the kingdom forevermore. Amen. Please rise and welcome our two wonderful pastors, Pastor Jay and Lanny.
Tim's prayer provoked a memory in me from many, many years ago. I'd been called on short notice to cover a friend of mine who was supposed to be doing a week of meetings up in the Adirondacks, some open-air campground thing. And I took one of our then leaders with me, and I'm weaving through traffic, and I found that the drivers in the state of New York are really aggressive. And so you have to conform to whatever's going on around you. And at one point, my companion laid his seat back and said, Lord Jesus, into your hands I commend my spirit. That's got nothing to do with what we're doing this morning. Jay and I have just returned from his first international outing to our long-established relationships in the Ukraine, and so I'm here in support of his trip report.
It will be a joint report. We had a wonderful time. I've never been out of the country before. So my first outing out of the country, I had the opportunity to travel with Pastor Lanny, who has been to, is it 40 countries? 40-something. 40-something countries. So I felt like I was in safe hands, which is good. But truly, it was very much like the Lord to, in my journey with him, to have my first outing out of the country in Eastern Europe. And so we had a wonderful time, and actually it was an incredibly beautiful trip, and not just the landscape, but the people that we were with was such an incredible time, and the mercy of the Lord to the people, and just the richness of his presence was incredible. So I want to start by saying, over the years, having been in this church, we've had the history of Lanny traveling to the Ukraine. We've had several of the pastors there come through here. Many of you actually have traveled to the Ukraine ministering with Lanny over the years. And so I've been watching this, you know, in my time here and wondering, am I going to go to the Ukraine someday? And so I just want to encourage some of you that might be sitting here right now thinking, okay, this is just a trip report. You never know where the Lord might take you 10, 15 years from now. So I would encourage you to see and to hear and to listen, because these are relationships that are important to us here at the church, to us personally, and they will become relationships for many of you, if they're not already, that you'll carry these people in your hearts, and they will carry you in their hearts as well. So as we're sharing today, just be open to hearing what the Lord is saying about what he's doing there, because part of this trip was to see what future we have with the Ukraine. Lanny's been going to the Ukraine for about 25 years now, and over that time has made several relationships, but some of the primary relationships that were made there were seeming to, I'd say, dismantle as far as what our influence was there. And so the question had been for a time, does the Lord have more for us in Ukraine, or is this the end of a season for us? Last year, we were down in Dallas, Texas, and two couples came to the conference that we were at there that have been related to Lanny for a good while. One of those couples was our host on this trip. While we were there, Katie and I just felt a real strong connection with these two couples. They're just beautiful people who love the Lord. While we were in Dallas, yes, and we just really thank you for that clarification. While we were in Dallas, we met them, and our hearts connected. And that's something that's important to recognize in your journey with the Lord. You'll find those people where you have not known them long, but in the spirit you feel like, man, this feels like somebody I've grown up with. And so we made a good connection, and I felt the Lord just nudge me to ask Sergey and Luda, is there any way that we can help you there in Ukraine? What can we do? And they basically said, just come to the Ukraine. And so I said, all right. And so that was the leap-off point there. And so when we went there to the Ukraine to spend time with them, it was just incredible to see how already just quickly we had close relationship, and the rest of it's just the details. And then we're walking through the opportunities presented to us by the Lord to minister to the people that were there and to minister to Sergey and Luda and their leadership team, and also Igor and Sasha, the other couple that we had met, came and visited us as well. And so as we were there in Lviv, we were there for about a week, we just kept hosting people. And they would come, and we'd just meet with them and eat with them. You'll see pictures around tables in this because we spent a lot of time just listening to the Lord and being there for people and ministering to them. And it was a really wonderful time. So this picture that you're seeing here is from the tower at City Hall in Lviv, Ukraine. Lviv is one of the westernmost cities in Ukraine. It has been owned by many different nations over the course of its history. If you don't know much about Ukraine, Ukraine is often referred to as borderlands. It is an area where multiple countries have owned them over time. They've conquered them. They've been conquered. There's lots of different peoples and ethnic groups that are there, ethnic Russians, people that can trace their lineage back to early Ukrainian history. You have Polish, you have German. I mean, it's all over the place. For a long time, especially prior to World War II, there was a very high population of Jewish people in Ukraine as well. So this place in particular carries with it a lot of history of the peoples that have occupied it over time. And so there's, as you walk down the streets that are cobblestone streets, apparently they're the only cobblestone streets in Ukraine, it has a very beautiful look to it. And the effects of communism over time really ground this city down, but there's been a major revitalization that's been taking place here in Lviv over the past several years. In particular, they've had a new mayor that has come into the area, and he has been very pro-business, very pro-history. He's allowed people to really celebrate their history. And so as you walk around through the town, it's a city of about a million people, really. But through city center there, it's buzzing all the time. We had our flat was near the center of town, and I'm not sure when that city really slept, because cars and trucks and even horses were going past my window at all hours of the night. It's a 7-hour time difference there, so we were up in the middle of the night quite frequently, just trying to get used to the jet lag. But it was a very interesting place and a lot of culture there. If we go to the next slide. So after we landed on our first evening, we came in on a Friday night, very late. We had about half a day through the morning to try to wake up, get ourselves situated, and then we did a 6-hour conference there with Sergey and Luda and the other two churches that they oversee. They have a church in Lviv. They have a church in a place called Sokol, which is about 1.5 hours north, and they have another church in Novovolinsk, which is, I think, again, like 30 minutes beyond that. But they oversee these three churches, and so they invited their people there with them and also some of the other pastors and ministers from the area that they relate to. And we were there to minister with them, and it was a wonderful time. We started off with praise and worship, and if you've not yet had the opportunity to worship in another tongue and be the cultural minority in that situation, it is quite an experience to not even know what we're saying, but to just sing along anyways. Is wonderful. The presence of the Spirit of the Lord in the place was just wonderful. It was rich worship. The people had a true heart for worship. And that team we ended up being with multiple times throughout our stay there. And so it was good to just kind of get to know them and really get into that spirit with them. Their primary leader is a man. You'll see him hopefully here in the next couple of slides. He's got to be about 6.5 feet tall or more. He is a very tall man. I called him Tall Sergey because he was just so tall. He made Tim look short. It was incredible. So, but this man has a true heart for worship and leading others into worship. And his teams responded to him well. And I didn't know what he would be saying, but Anna, who many of you know, you can go back a slide. Anna Shamshura, who many of you know, was our interpreter during that entire time, and she did such an incredible job over that week. She probably spoke about 3 times as many more words than anybody else that was there, so she had to have been exhausted. But she's a brilliant interpreter. She's been part of our spiritual household now for a number of years, so while we might have been communicating very complicated topics, she's well-versed in them, and she owns them personally. So she's able to communicate things very effectively, and we were incredibly blessed to have her with us during this trip. It was very encouraging and comforting having somebody there speaking the words that we're communicating that knows our hearts, and that's a huge thing for us. So, Pastor, I'd say labored very very early on through this probably the first half of this conference. Of establishing the gospel of the kingdom with the people there. Many of these people are new to us, and so they're not as acquainted with the message we tend to speak, so he laid a really solid foundation there of expanding things beyond the gospel of salvation to look at the gospel of the kingdom. And it was very just wonderful to see how people were digesting this and being challenged by it and really considering it. But their hearts were open and they were responding to it. It was beautiful. And that laid way for us to bring in discussions about spiritual sonship and spiritual orphans. Ukraine, as I said earlier, has been overrun many times. And the last major occupation of Ukraine was by the Soviet Union. And the effects of communism in that culture stripped the culture of all of its prior markers. The family unit was stripped down in a huge way. When mothers and fathers can't truly be mothers and fathers to their children and make decisions for them, it has major effects on the generations that are immediate but also following. And so coming back out of communism has been a real struggle in general, but in particular to the family. Reestablishing what that's supposed to look like is not really in the corporate memory of that nation and that culture. And so they're trying to grab back hold of that. So when we talk about the culture of the spiritual orphan being a global culture, it's a spiritual dynamic that we're well aware of. In Ukraine, they literally have a culture of orphanhood. Many people there are real orphans or are effectually orphans because of the abandonment they have had from their parents and the ineffectiveness of parenting in that culture. And many of these people are now growing up. They're my generation or the generation immediately preceding us. And so they're trying to parent, they're trying to do this, but they don't know what they don't know yet. And so when we came talking about the culture of the orphan and the culture of the son, it was things they could relate to at a level that many of us don't have commonly. But their desire for sonship, their desire for spiritual fathering is something that is there, and they've even seen some of it before. So it wasn't a completely foreign concept to them, but the level at which Lanny was able to delve into it was wonderful, and I got to come and encourage them as well behind that. We also opened up a time for healing in this scenario, and God did some great stuff in the hearts of the people there. There's prophetic activity, there's healing, and they're praying for each other, and God was just doing wonderful things. Much like what we see in an encounter service here, they were seeing and experiencing there with us. So that was our first taste into this, and it was just wonderful to see the expression on people's faces when the Lord touches them. It's the same there as it is here. When God moves in people's hearts, I mean, it's the same stuff. I couldn't tell what they were saying because they're giving testimony to one another, and we might pick up a little of it, but it looked like you. It looked like you and when you're giving testimony to what the Lord has done and how he set you free, and it was just so wonderful to get to experience that, and to also have the experience of ministering to people through an interpreter. That's everything is much slower, right? But it's really, really great. In this setting here, we met one of their administrators, a young lady named Alina. You'll get to see her in a little while. I'll point her out. She is just graduated from college, just graduated with her master's degree. She's the first in her family to have a college degree. And she had been taken in by Sergey and Luda several years ago, and they just walked her through a deep healing process and helped build her into the wonderful expression of Christ that she is today. She is a brilliant young lady, and she, as she saw Anna was moving with Lanny to minister to people and translating for him, I'm kind of out in the open by myself. I don't speak Ukrainian at all. And so she saw me kind of dangling there and said, if you need me to interpret for you, I can do that. I said, okay, that'd be great. And so she did. I prayed for a little guy, and she was right in there with me. And it was really, really cool. And so we said, after this situation, we should give her an opportunity to do some interpretation for us as we're here, just to kind of test drive her. Anna is perfectly capable of doing what we're doing, but should we be here in the future, it would be good to know somebody else who might be here, and also to elevate her and encourage her in this gift that she has. She's only really been speaking English for about 2 years, folks, and she was superb is an understatement. It was amazing, and to watch Anna kind of sit on the front row in some of these situations like a proud big sister, just beaming at how wonderful this young lady was doing. And every once in a while, you know, there'd be a concept or a term that was not quite there for her, and Anna would just toss it out there for her, and she'd pick it right up and keep going with it. It was not a domineering thing. It was such a supportive thing, and to see that interaction happening was beautiful. We're in the business of building people and raising them into what God is doing. And we do that here in our Father's house. We do it in our relationships in the community. And we do it internationally. It's something that we've been doing for a long time. And so to see that on display was so obvious what the Lord was doing there. And to get to participate in that was really cool. Let's go to the next slide. This is, hopefully we can see this, it's a video from the church in Socal, which we went to on Sunday morning. So Sunday, after we'd had a six-hour conference on Saturday, Sunday morning we preached in two services. The first one is in Socal. It was a 10 a.m. service, I believe. It's an hour and a half outside of the city, so we had to start early to get up there. We preached there, and then we had a 5 o'clock service in Lviv. That might seem like a busy schedule to you. This is what our hosts do every single week. They've been doing it for 6 years, And Sergey, our host, has been battling with multiple forms of cancer for a number of years in his life. This is not the only position they hold. They also have an upholstery cleaning service. They clean carpets and couches and things like that throughout the week, and they do this on the weekends, in addition to the meetings that they're holding throughout the week to minister to their constituency, their church family. These people are dedicated and committed to what God is doing. And so to get to be with them and actually feel what that feels like was huge. That ride up to Socal is through a lot of farmland. Most of the roads are pretty good, but then you kind of cut off and all of a sudden it is bumpy. And there's not a whole lot out there. We did come across a cemetery along the way that is, among other things, it has a memorial there to the soldiers in Ukraine that have died in the ongoing war and conflict they have with Russia right now in their country. And we came to learn that Lviv, the Lviv Oblast, which is kind of like their county, has given up the most people to that conflict of all of Ukraine. And they're one of the most, distance-wise, furthest from the conflict. So we went by that, and it's a sobering memorial to see. And people were, I mean, it focused out in the middle of nowhere. It'd be like if it was out on like Indian Bridge Road, you know, and people are walking along the highway to get there. There's not really a whole lot of parking there, and a lot of people are there in that part of the country. They are riding bikes, or they're walking on long roads, long distances to get places, or they're riding in little buses. It was very humbling to see that. So we went to Socal, and I didn't really know what personally to expect there, but they had this wonderful church. It was about this row here back, and about that wide, not quite that long. And you'll see it. If we have the video, you'll see it. I pan around. Let's just play it. This is the actual word. Just turn your head sideways and get it. These people love to worship, and just it was upbeat, it was going, and when it was heartfelt worship, it was heartfelt worship. And I didn't, unless it was a song that was a Western song that had been turned into Ukrainian, I didn't really know what we were singing, but I just tried to make whatever sounds they were making and try to adopt the language as best as I could, or sing in the spirit, because you're just joining into what is going on there. And it was so wonderful. You could just feel the Holy Spirit's presence on all of it. We did come to learn that tall Sergey there lost his wife 10 months ago. She'd had a stroke. She survived 4 more days after that, and then she was gone, age 46. And what a humbling thing to learn that after having worshipped with this individual, to see the presence of the Lord there and the gift manifested in him, and to learn that that's what he had gone through just recently, within a year, was a powerful testimony of the Lord's grace. And he was truly doing what he does best. He's been with our host, Sergey, for what, 20 years now, I think? They helped one another to start the church in Lviv. He would play the guitar on the street corner, and Sergey would stand up and preach the gospel, and they'd get souls saved. And that's how the church started. So they're deep friends, and it was incredible. This is the second worship team for the day. The first worship team was a children's worship team. And you saw the mother back there dancing with her son. She's the wife of the pastor in Novovolinsk, and That is their son. He's about 10 years old. And he's playing on the drums, doing a great job on the drums. 10 years old. They had two young ladies up there singing. The pastor's wife was back there playing on the piano, helping to lead, and it was good worship. And I was like, wow, we've talked about doing a children's worship team, but we've never been able to really, truly pull it off. And here they are, they're doing it. They were rocking. It was incredible. And then the regular worship team got up afterwards and kept on going with it. So just the spirit of inclusiveness they had for their children was really, really beautiful. And they're in it's a much smaller space than what we have here. And they're just packed in there, and everybody was together doing well. So I had the opportunity to preach in this church and in the Lviv church that evening. And what the Lord had put on my heart, he'd been stirring me for a number of weeks leading into this. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to say? I know I got to preach twice here. What do you want me to say? And I couldn't land on a single, it's this topic, you know. It was, here's some things that I want you to be thinking about. And as we started moving into our time there, it was like he said, okay, this is what I want you to address. And it really had to do with the having a multi-generational mindset and living multi-generationally as the body of Christ. And that there is a message I preached a while back here about that, about the difference that one person can make following the Lord. Some of you may recall that. And so he wanted me to preach that message again, so I got to preach it there in this context. And it was so warmly received because it's a concept that's outside of their current experience. It is for us too, for many of us. But it's so far outside of their experience to speak about that was like, it really helped to open things up in them. And in that context, to affirm with them that you are already making a place for your children. You're already taking their gifts and you're helping them to hone those things and build them up. And so it was really affirming what they're doing in some ways better than we are doing here. And to be able to say, yes, 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 God's doing something here in you and he's doing this in us. And so let's all just expand our understanding together and see that he has so much more for us. So I got to preach that here in Sokol, and I got to preach it later that evening in Lviv. And in both scenarios, it was just really cool to see how people responded to it. We go to the next slide. So the church there in Sokol is in a building that had been two residencies. They had purchased the back half of the church or the building several years ago and fixed it up and made their sanctuary. But as you can see, it's cramped tight in there. And just recently, they've been able to purchase the front half of the building. I believe we've ended up helping with some of that. They've purchased the front half of the building, and now they're going through the process of looking to expand this so that they can spread people out. If we do the next slide here, you can see they've actually already gone through and purchased new windows. It gets cold there, and having windows that have more than one layer is really good. So they've got those situated and ready to go, and they're working on expanding this church. They're also in the process of bringing in a new pastor here to oversee this church, because right now Sergei is overseeing the church here in Sokol and in Lviv, where his home church is. Go to the next slide. This is lunch after the service. We got to go to a pizza joint right around the corner. It was great. It was really good pizza. The food over there is very European. They don't use a lot of the preservatives we use over here. It was interesting to see the influence of that throughout the region and what we're eating. But these are our hosts on the right hand side. That's Luda and Sergey. In the back there is Pastor Andre. He's the one who's going to be overtaking or coming in to oversee the church there in Sokol. And you can see us there on the left. Pastor, would you like to comment on the shirt that you're wearing?
No, thank you.
It's a really good story, though. All right, I won't press that one. Superman was in the building. So we had a really wonderful lunch there with them before our trip back down to Lviv for the evening, ministering in their church. We do the next slide. So Over the course of the time we were there, we ministered with their leaders several times, ministered with them and to them. And this is the pastor from Novovolinsk. This is Pastor Roman. And he's about our age, and we made a great connection there. So he pastors the church in Novovolinsk. He has three children, and you saw the drummer there with his wife. And he came up to me after I spoke in Sokol and said, "Thank you so much for how you've encouraged me." He said, because I shared with him, when the children receive the Holy Spirit, they don't get a baby Holy Spirit, they get the Holy Spirit. And it's our responsibility to steward the graces that God is bringing forth in them. We need to give them opportunities because God's doing stuff. Our ceiling should be their floor. That's the spirit of fatherhood. And so he came to me. He said, "That blessed me so much." He said, "My church is about 2/3 children." So he has about 80 kids in his church and 40 adults. And he said, "I am ridiculed by the other pastors in my city. They tell me I don't have a real church."
I would like to comment on that.
Yes, please.
The standard of legalism that is erected everywhere we look becomes the basis for judging everybody else around you. Now, those who are vilifying this fine young man are pastoring old people who basically aren't going to change. This young man is pastoring the future, and they're too blind to see it.
So for us to come and affirm him and put our hands on his shoulders and say, "No, you are doing exactly what you should be doing. Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me.'" And so you've made a way for that to happen. Many of their parents do not come to church, but the kids are. So he is investing in the future of that country, in the future of what God is doing there. And it was so wonderful to see his heart. But you know he's wrestled with this. I mean, how could you not? And so he felt so affirmed and encouraged. And he would show up at all the meetings and just give us such big hugs because he needed to hear that from somebody outside of his own pastoral team. And so we got to affirm that. What an honor to be able to do that for somebody. So I look forward to future opportunities to meet with Pastor Roman. He was excellent. If we can go to the next slide here. This is one of the kids in his church. This is little Roman. On Saturday, I had the opportunity to minister to him. He stood out to me in the service that we were having there because he was there with his mom at this six-hour conference that we'd had. And you know, they traveled from Novovolinsk, so about 2 hours to get there. And he spent the whole day with us, and he was engaged in what was happening. And he reminded me of my own son. He reminded me of Jack. And as I watched him throughout the day, he reminded me of Jack. I was like, "Man, well, that's not just coincidence. I need to pray for this guy." And so I asked his mom, "Hey, can I pray for your son?" And she said, "Sure." And as I started praying for him, the Lord just opened up all sorts of stuff and got to prophesy to him. And so he showed up the next day. I didn't know if I was ever going to see him again. He wanted to have a picture with me. And he's just a sweet spirit, real kind, real tender-hearted guy, and sharp. You could tell he was really, really sharp. So I anticipate seeing him again in the future. It's just wonderful to see this young generation engaged in what God is doing. So I want to share that with you. Let's go to the next slide. So this is also from the top of the town or the city hall there in Lviv. We climbed the clock tower. It's a lot of stairs to get to the top of that clock tower, but the view is spectacular. And so this is Sergei. And Alina, she's the one I shared with you about. She's done some interpreting for us there. So she went with us on a city tour of Lviv, and so she got to share, translate for them, but also share about the place that she is living in. And the people in Lviv, they love Lviv. And it was great to hear from someone who lives there how excited they are about what's happening there from kind of this cultural revival that they're having in that place. when Lanny came to Ukraine first 25 years ago, you came to Lviv, right? And so it was pretty cool. 25 years later, after having his first endeavor there, we got to go together in there. And the place has changed substantially. Would you like to share about that?
I was there 3 years following the collapse of the Soviet Union, which left everything in that region in chaos. People were starving in this city. Buses didn't work. Food was scarce. The old people were terrified. The young people were excited about an unknown future. But to look at it today, you would think you're in a modern Western city. They have done such a wonderful refurbishing of both the mindsets of the people, and they've taken pride in their town, and it's a beautiful, beautiful city.
Now, the city's started in about the 1200s. There had been people there already, but it was settled by a king, King Daniel, and he named it after his son Leo, and so it's actually called the Lion City, and you see lions all over the place. I'm told 2,000 lions that are in the stonework and in other pieces of architecture around the city, and so they take great pride in this. You see lions everywhere, and it was very interesting actually when you look at the Ukrainian flag and the shield of Ukraine. There's a lion in there, and it actually, in the context of Ukraine, harkens back to this rulership here in the Lviv area. There's a hill there in Ukraine that had a castle on top of it, and from that hilltop, anywhere you could see was what the kingdom was for King Daniel and those who followed him. And the castle was never taken by force. It was burned down twice. That's the only way they could get in. They couldn't take it otherwise. The hillside is very steep there. I got to climb to the top of that, and it was a lot of fun. But there's a deep, rich history there in this part of the country. And so for them to be able to celebrate that openly and to be proud of it is a big thing for the area. So, yeah, to see how much things were bustling and people running around and eating outside and doing all this is a real testimony to what has taken place in that location coming out from communism. So if we go to the next slide here. Here's a statue near the center of the city of King Daniel there on the left. And you'll see references to him in multiple places throughout the city. On the right is one of the multiple cathedrals that are there in the city. They're beautiful. Lots of great paintings there. Somehow these survived all of that, and so it was really wonderful to just kind of get in there and look up and see, wow, this has been here longer than the National Cathedral has been. And there's a small church right next to this one, actually, that had been there since the 1630s, which is about as old as St. Mary's County is. So to see what was happening there in reference to our history here was really cool. Next slide. This is their opera house. It is lovely. So like I said, this place has been owned by lots of different people. This, I believe, was influenced and designed by the Italians. I don't know how long ago, but it was just really beautiful to see this right there. And again, all sorts of commerce and people bustling around. I want to show you these pictures because it's so... You can't walk around the city without it just being breathtaking to see what has been set in there over time. Much of it in some locations is really run down because it just did not have the maintenance over the years. But to see the efforts that are being done to restore some of these places and the celebration of their culture, there's artwork all over the place. There's very artistic graffiti that's gone on there. They said, yeah, go ahead, paint the wall. And you walk through there, that is some really cool stuff. So they're celebrating the arts there. They're celebrating creativity there. They're celebrating their culture. It was beautiful to see, knowing what they've come out of, and to think we're really only inside 30 years of that taking place. Next slide. This is one of the newer landmarks that they have in Lviv. It's up near the hill where the castle had been. This is a monument to their fallen in the most recent conflict with Russia. And so it really had a solemn tone there. I had just seen it there on the hillside. I got to go check that place out. But when I walked over there, you could just, everything got quiet there. It was very hushed. And you can kind of see some panels there towards the middle of this very, it's like a rusty type of structure there. Those panels are stainless steel panels with the faces and the names and the birth and death dates of those that have given their lives in the conflict, I believe from the Lviv Oblast. And you can tell they've put a lot of investment into this, and this is an ongoing conflict. And so really it was very interesting to be there and just to kind of feel the weight in the hearts of the people that were there visiting the site. Next slide. So, like I said, we had the opportunity to host several visitors throughout our time there, many of which we've had relationships with over time. Some of you here may recognize these two. This is Sasha and Alona Yukumchuk. They came to us here at this location 12 years ago. Long before we knew we were going to be doing any pastoring here, we got to serve them while they were here, you know, bringing them, you know, plates of food and things like that as they came through to speak here. At the time, they traveled with their, at that point, one-year-old son, and she was pregnant, like 6 months pregnant or whatnot. And I look at it now, I think, you made this journey pregnant with a child to come and teach in our church? My goodness, what dedication and commitment. But they have been part of YWAM in Lutsk for a number of years, and now she is the director of YWAM in Lutsk and working on plans to grow that ministry there. And we do support this couple and what they're doing there. It was wonderful to reconnect with them in their home country and to hear what God has been doing in them, in the cities that they are in connection with, the efforts they're making in the culture there to, as things are developing and moving forward, and they're really stretching their wings as far as you know, their new government system they have there, to see what the church is doing to try to influence the culture there was really, really eye-opening. So just love these two. It was great to be with them and to connect with them now, you know, over a decade's worth of knowing what's going on for them at a distance. Did you want to comment on anything with this? All right, we'll do the next slide. This is Pastor Misha. He and Lanny are longtime companions there in the Ukraine. He's another spiritual father in Ukraine. He lives in Mykolaivo, which is in the far western corner of the country, and he, among other things, oversees the ministry that's going on with the gypsies there. There's a pastor that's under him that does the direct work there, but Misha has been really helping to influence that and oversee it for a long period of time. Getting to sit with him and Lanny, just talking about the church and the cares of spiritual fathers over different regions was just wonderful to see and witness, and it was great to get to meet him. I hope to visit him in the future. Next slide. So this is towards the end of our trip. We had Sasha and Igor there on the lower right-hand side. They're the other couple that we met in Dallas last year. They live in Mykolaivo, where Pastor Misha is from, and they came and visited there, and it was lots and lots of fun. Anna, you can see in the back in the middle there, is with her mother, Irina, who came down from Uzhgorod to come and visit with us. And just what a wonderful lady, and great to have them together. And so this was a great gathering, and just the ability to encourage all these people together who are ministering to a region. There with Lanny is Daniel. He is the oldest son of our hosts, Sergey and Luda. He's 15 years old, and what a wonderful, wonderful young man. He speaks some English, and so I got to give him opportunity to exercise his English while he was there. He took up the challenge, and we ended up making a really great connection as he was just sharing about his city, his town, and getting to translate between his father and I. We really had a wonderful time together. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the Lord does in that young man's life.
They took us out for authentic Ukrainian food at the food court in the mall.
We got to eat Veranikis. If you don't know what Veranikis are, it's basically pierogies, but it's how Ukraine does that. I found most cultures have some pocketed doughy thing. Us Italians do, and so this was their version of it. And it was great. We had a lot of fun with it. So it was a good meal and a good time way to kind of end our time there. Let's see if there's another slide. Okay, yes. So here's Sasha and Igor, who I already told you are in Mukachevo there. They have a wonderful, wonderful ministry that they are involved in. And, Lane, I'd like you to share about what they're doing there.
I'm astonished, quite frankly, at how much these two get accomplished. They have a four-pronged ministry footprint in Western Ukraine. We did some examination while we were there and discovered that the children's home we've been supporting has lost its way, and that the overseers there basically now look at it as a 9-to-5 job. So when they began to tell us about what they're doing practically in so many different areas that are affecting children and their families, we made the decision to transfer our support to these two. Now, as a husband and wife, they have two children of their own, and they have adopted another 19.
They own this.
They are multi-generational. They're grandparents by some of those that they have raised. They are involved in a dilapidated building in their city that they persuaded the local government to refurbish the ground floor. And it's now a training center for children and for training parents. They and their volunteers are in there every week. The three floors above it contain many bedridden elderly that they also visit, bring Bibles to, take food to. I mean, the list of things they're doing, it's just tiresome to read. It's amazing to me what two people can accomplish when they're focused on serving the purposes of God. They are an extraordinary couple. They both speak English, she a bit more than he, but we were able to communicate freely. We're able to actually minister prophetically to them in some terms that brought great encouragement and healing to them. So it was just a fabulous opportunity to strengthen a couple who represent a team that are just doing amazing work. One of the things about their city, during this war in the West, lots of people have in the East have fled West, and there were numerous people from the East in their town that the town was just basically ignoring. So she got in the mayor's face and said, look, they're here. We have to minister to them. So that precipitated bringing all the various agencies together, and they began to really focus on bringing aid and comfort to those who had fled their homes and left everything just trying to save their lives and the lives of their children. It was a real, really rich time.
It was so good to hear their hearts. And like Lanny's saying, you hear the stories of what they're doing, you're thinking, when do you sleep? Like, how do you organize your day? How do you do all of this? And it is what they live. And so for us, shifting our support over there it's a no-brainer because you hear their hearts. We've already made the connection there, but to hear their hearts and to see what they're doing is just, it's incredible. So that was a really wonderful connection that we got to make there. I think that's my last picture to share here. I want to share further that, we've talked about as far as where our Father's house is going here in the future. We've got to focus on our community. We're building people up, but we also have a long history of international ministry here coming from our Father's house. And so those things are not going to die. It's going to metamorphosis over time, but as we went to Ukraine to see, is there something that the Lord still has for us there? The big answer that came back was yes. There is much more that he has for us there. The relationships with the people were strengthened during that time. Personally, I felt like, well, this is the first trip. And that's what I felt in my spirit. And really, I can think of probably three or four other trips to go just to get the understanding of the landscape and to actually get to see and to experience some of the other locations of the people that we met. And I just really look forward to seeing what God is going to do there. We work relationally. When we talk about the ministries that we're giving to, whether it's here domestically or abroad or even in our county here and in the community and the region, we work along relational lines. And I encourage you to continue to think about working along the relational lines of who you are in connection with. You know, our opportunities and our responsibilities is to work on those relationships, because when we work on the relationships, when we work on those connections, when we seek peace with one another and to see what the Lord is going to do there and honor who that other person is, God conveys great things across those roads. We maintain the roads, and then he does what he's going to do to send things across that. So the fact that he's connected our hearts with these individuals in the Ukraine is something that he's doing. We get to honor and steward, and then get to see what he's going to do over time through that. There were things for us to bring to them this time. I anticipate there's going to be opportunities that they're going to bring new understandings and other things to us as well. For me personally, it was a growing experience, and I was so excited to see what God was teaching me personally in that whole time. So this is part of what we do here. We bless where God tells us to bless, and we go where he tells us to go. So we're in Ukraine. All right? Amen.
There are a couple of things that I want to bring to our attention because I'm just so tickled with the Lord. Some of you were here when Grace Bailey was here a few weeks ago. All the painting that are now posted in the lobby out there. And one of the things that happened that morning was so incredibly impacting on me personally that I wanted to share it this morning. I made mention at the close of that particular service that we should anticipate God not only restoring expressions through us in art, but we should consider him expressing himself in things like poetry. Those words left my lips and hit Obi. Where are you, Obi? Come up here, son. And he has a little bit of a tale and a piece of poetry I'm going to have him share from that moment on that morning. How long ago was it you stopped writing poetry?
I wrote some poetry when I was in high school. So.
And you stopped because?
Probably because people in high school thought it was not manly, I guess you would say. You know?
Clearly, their education was lacking. Some very manly men have written poetry throughout the... Anybody ever heard of Homer? Okie dokie. Now, for some of us, poetry is more like roses are red, violets are blue, monkeys stink, and so do you. That's not really up there. And it doesn't have to rhyme. Okay. Sonnets are different from... thank you. And so when we talk about poetry, we're talking about the expression of a heart that's capturing a moment, telling a tale, or painting a picture of what might be, or telling a story about the destruction from which they have come. Well, for the first time in years, my voice spoke, his spirit heard, and this was created in a couple of minutes.
Okay, so... Real quick. No. Like this? Okay. So when Pastor Lanny said about that there would be poetry breaking out, I was sitting back there and the Lord kind of just dropped like this brokenness thing where I would think that brokenness was something that was a bad thing. And when you think of the word broken, well, I thought of the word brokenness, I would always run from it or didn't want to deal with that or whatever. You know, vulnerability and brokenness don't tend to be something that I kind of would run to. And then over the past year, for those who know about me and my wife, we went through some really hard things, and God did a lot, has done a lot in me. And so this is what I wrote through the whole kind of 10 minutes, I guess, that happened. It was like kind of the Holy Spirit just dropped that on me, and with 10 minutes I wrote this poem. Sorry, this isn't like, this is unscripted. So. All right. So, brokenness is not broke, not broke like the promises I broke or the choices I choose. Brokenness is not a picture of the downtrodden, neglected, or abused. Brokenness is not ugly or despised, nor does it make my problems arise. Brokenness is the awakening of beauty, like the morning sun touching the ocean, or when the eagle soars through the clouds and spreads his wings. Brokenness is open arms and not a pointing finger. The embracing love of the spirit of adoption to unending love above all things. Brokenness means I am loved more and accepted more. Brokenness means I mean more to him than ever before.
The scripture is very clear that we are to honor one another. And so to have been scoffed at as being unmanly because you held a creative gift and retard that thing and put it into hiding is not part of what our Father's house is about. We're about releasing the grace gifts of God. And I was so, so thrilled with the awakening that happened in Obi on that morning. He's written several poems since then. His wife mentioned to me, he never writes me poetry. And so he texted me, I did write a poem. I got to read two or three more. I said, I did write a poem for my wife, but you don't get to read that one. Now, when it comes to the impact of poetry, it's not always the book you pull off the shelf and you thumb through trying to find something to borrow for your Valentine's Day card, he said, speaking experientially. But there's the opportunity for genuine, creative God impact. We're going to play about a seven-minute poetic experience. And then we're going to give an altar call in response to this poem.
God spends a lot of time in the Bible telling us who we are. It's almost as if he knew that we would doubt who that was from time to time. It's as if he saw it coming, that we'd spend our whole lives searching for what our identity, what our real name was, and that there'd be many moments in our lives where we'd let different kinds of names define us. When we've looked in the mirror, compared ourselves to pictures, and heard the name ugly. When we've been left by loved ones, people we trusted once, and heard the name unworthy. When we've been drowning in discouragement, living in a seemingly never-ending crisis, and heard the name forgotten. When we've had our hopes up and our hearts open, only to be brought down by closed doors, and we've heard rejected. When we've looked for infinite affirming love through lesser physical fleshly versions. when we gave it away or when it was stolen and we heard impure, we heard garbage, when we go to other vices to ease our pain and we hear addict, we hear forever broken, when we feel like we're living in the shadow of someone else's calling and we hear second place. When our pain cripples us to a point where we don't even know how to let others in, and we hear lonely when our past seems too gross for others to forgive, and we hear disgusting, it's overwhelming, these voices we're constantly hearing, it's suffocating. This air of constant critique and comparing, and it's sort of amazing, the people whose voices I've allowed to name me. The power I've given to my past, to my mirror, and to my surroundings, and enabled them to identify me. The amount of years I've spent living up to whatever others say over me. But God says something else about me. It's like he knew there would be other voices. So he wrote his voice down in a timeless book of truth that would remind us over and over again in the moments when lies would block his truths and somehow make us forget. I'm going back to the source, not the people I've allowed to represent God to me, but the actual, literal, tangible words that he has written down for me. And there's some other names he's given to me. John 15:15, he calls me friend. 1 Thessalonians 1:4, he calls me chosen. Ephesians 2:10, he calls me his workmanship. He calls me his art. He calls me handmade. He calls me purposed and fashioned for good things. 1 Corinthians 6:19, he calls my body a temple. He calls it the residence of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, he calls me his messenger to the world. Galatians 3:26, he calls me his child. Romans 5:8, he calls me greatly loved. John 8:36, he calls me free, free indeed. 2 Corinthians 5:17, he calls me brand new. And it's amazing how different these names are from the names I'm used to listening to. And in my journey to discover who I really am, in my battle to uncover the truths of myself, I've learned something new about my name. And now this is what I am certain of. My name is not the name the world calls me. My name is not the name my past calls me. My name is not even the name my own mirror calls me. But my name is the name I answer to. And I can choose today, from this moment forward, to answer to a new name. When I hear lonely, that's not me. When I hear disgusting, that's not me. When I hear unworthy, I don't even look over my shoulder. When I hear broken, they must have confused me. Please look elsewhere. When I hear ugly, abandoned, useless, forgotten, I figure someone just has to remind them. Maybe those were my old names, but they're no longer the names that I respond to. My name is the name I've chosen to spend my days living up to. And if these other voices are not saying the same thing that the truth is, I look in my mirror and I repeat this: they have no right to be speaking to you. When you stop answering to your old names, they stop having power over you. The names that my Father, eternity's author, the world's creator has called me are the only names that I answer to. When I hear friend of God, that's my name. God's workmanship, that's my name. Chosen, that's my name. Loved, wanted, created with a purpose, that's my name. God's temple, that's my name. God's messenger, that's my name. Free, that's my name. Child of God, you must be looking for me. Greatly loved, you must be calling for me. Brand new, that is my name. That is the name that I respond to. The enemy has no power here. Perfect love cast out fear, and perfect love stirring up inside of you when you hear these words that his word, that the word has proclaimed? What do you know is the name God is calling you? Maybe it's not the name you grew up with. Maybe it's not the name your old friends associate you with. Maybe it's not the name that your whole life you were used to identifying with. But it's the name you now answer to. So when the enemy tries to get to you, it's the name you introduce yourself with. As for me, my name is forgiven. My name is free. My name is brand new. Loved, wanted, child of God, created with a purpose. And it's been a pleasure to meet you.
Many efforts get made trying to persuade us to the reality of who we now are in Christ Jesus. That's one of the most poignant expressions of that message I've heard in recent decades. And so a legitimate question for you is, what name do you answer to? I had to rebuke me probably less than... well, since I got home from the Ukraine, I heard me call me, "You idiot." And so I rebuked me. I said, "You're not an idiot. Quit talking like that." There is a warfare that is centered right here. And everything she referenced, we have all tasted. The question that remains for you now and the future is, what name will you respond to? Now, I don't know what the splinter of brokenness is in your memory, whether it was from grade school or a failed relationship or something that a boss said or an accusation by a spouse. Whatever that splinter is, the Lord is offering you some Holy Ghost tweezers this morning. But you have to decide that that is, in fact, in the past, and there's now a bloodline between you and that name. Would you stand? One of the things that I have found valuable in my journey with the Lord is to confess my wrongdoing. And my wrongdoing is simply that area of my life which is out of alignment with his creative intent. And if you standing here or sitting here this morning have another name to which you respond that is not a name he declares over you, I want you to take a moment and just confess that to the Lord and ask him to deliver you from identification with that name, and then seek the Holy Spirit for its alternative. You heard many in this short video presentation, but there are other things you've read or heard that to which your heart responds and your mind says, "I wish that were me." God says that is you. Holy Spirit, I invite you to sweep across the galleries of our memories, to break forth with the spirit of revelation, and to let your simplistic word, your word of deliverance, even all of us, Lord, when we come into the presence of the Lord, he is going to hand us a white stone, and on that stone will be written our new name in eternity. It's one he chooses for me, and I will wear it for eternity, like a badge of honor, a gift from the Supreme King. But in temporal time and space, Lord, there are many areas of brokenness in our memories and our things and pains that have lodged in our soul that need to be dislodged by you. Grant, I pray, in this moment, a new name to each and every broken heart, each splinter of every memory, every curse that was spoken, every kind, unkind word, the thing that happened when we were so vilely criticized for doing right, all of those things, Lord, You know each and every one, and you have the power of redemption in your breath. I ask you, Lord, breathe upon us in this moment. Now you release that splinter to the Lord. And you receive that name you heard in your spirit. You make yourself a memorial, whether it's in your iPhone or your iPad or your Bible cover. You write that thing down. And you remember what the Lord said to you. Because that lie has no longer power over you when you embrace His truth, specifically designed and delivered to you personally by His Spirit. Lord, let us live to see the consequence of this moment as we begin to stand up on the inside, walk away from history into the future with the name you've given us in this moment. I seal it to the glory of God the Father through Jesus Christ, the redemptive Son. Amen. And amen.
Lanny, can we do this song that I had prepared this morning? And it didn't seem right for communion, but it is exactly right for communion.
By all means.
Just as I am, you welcome me. With open arms, how can this be? My guilt is undone, my past is untethered.
Father.
Father, I'm loved by you. There is no distance in your embrace. Over and over again you say, oh, and I am loved. Father, I'm loved by you. Oh, I am loved. Father, I'm loved. I am loved, I am loved by you. Father, I'm loved by you.
Thank you for the reminder. You know, confession is a good thing. And if you, in fact, have picked a new name, share it with two or three people on your way out. We'll meet our first-time guests in the hospitality room. Love on several necks you haven't hugged lately. You're dismissed.